Co nie wiem, żeby wydać tyle. Ale jeszcze gości. To czarny troszkę nabije. What was the topic going to be?
The topic was going to be about community living and children.
Community development, children and development. So I'm just mentioning that. So the Lord is going to prepare a few questions. I've got just a little cushion to put under here, or a mat, so it doesn't slide. Anyway, think about that topic, and then we'll talk about it shortly. Well, let's start off with a question, just to sort of prompt me today. I was speaking with Ramdas and Janavapriya. That's how we got to this topic, that it could be a good idea that aside from celebrating Govardhan Puja today, we can discuss a sociological topic that we thought called Varnashrama, very much a relevant issue anywhere where there are more than just Brahmacharis and Brahmacharis. About social development or implementation of Varnashrama. Who's got questions? One. That's it. Okay, well, just the prelude, as we were mentioning yesterday, and it's no secret to anyone, Srila Prabhupada sort of expressed the formula of his mission as being half is writing his books, and the other is establishing Varnashrama. And then he pointed out that he felt that on the latter, he had not really completed to do what he wanted to do. And therefore, in one sense, although in our Krishna consciousness movement, generally speaking, although it also sometimes comes under attack, the position of Srila Prabhupada's books as the logics of the society, and the distribution of Prabhupada's books is sort of the spearhead of our mission is sort of quite clear. And it's relatively simple, because it's a matter of, you read these books, you take them, you sell them. When it comes to coordinating and managing lives, our own lives included, according to principles and being principle-based, then that's a little different issue. People, devotees, are much more fussy books. And unfortunately, they're generally not as Krishna conscious as the books are there. And then that brings up all kinds of questions or problems. One of the questions is that Krishna consciousness is not just some linear structure. Everyone's on one level and everyone goes together in one place. Different individuals are at different degrees of development in Krishna consciousness. They go at different speeds, and as a result of that, they have different values. So when you talk about society, society means that you have some set of values then immediately you come across with a certain problem, is that because different devotees may have different values, how can we coordinate it into one institution or one social structure? Another obvious challenge is the concept of implementation of principles. We know that the Varnashram system is made of Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. I think I may have mentioned this last time. Someone asked the question. But what's a Kshatriya in Krishna consciousness? Sometimes we think someone who likes to do Kung Fu is a Kshatriya. But in the Vedic system, a Kshatriya is someone who makes sure that the laws by which people are meant to conduct themselves are obeyed. And he has clout. If you don't do it, even a Brahmin, you get punished. We have, as a spiritual institution, no such, or very little such facility for governance and for policing. Someone across the street decides to eat meat. What are you going to do? There's no law against not eating meat in this country. You can't do anything about it. You can't even take them to court. What to speak of if they decide to run off with someone else's wife? There's nothing against them either. And as a religious organization, we have no facility for acting outside of the laws of the land. Neither can we necessarily force people to follow our ecclesiastical rules unless they actually conform to the laws of the society around us. So then when people or devotees actually step outside the norms of a social structure, you have practically no room for implementation. You can do what churches do, is you can ostracize someone. In other words, you can say you're no longer a Hare Krishna, or say you're banned from the temple, or you lose certain privileges, you lose your Brahminical rights, you can't come on the altar for 3 years or something like that. But those are just reactionary legislation. They don't necessarily correct anyone, and they certainly don't force anyone to do anything different. They don't stop them from their activities. If the police catch someone who's a thief, they stop them from stealing. If you tell someone they can't come to the temple because they ran off with someone else's wife, that didn't make him go back to his own wife. It just says that he can't come to the temple, that's all. But it doesn't correct necessarily the activity. And of course that is a certain type of it's the only power that we have. But what it does do is it places really sort of Brahminical and Vaishnav activities as sort of the danda or the punishment that's actually meant to be used by Kshatriyas. So this makes a real weakness, because you may have so many rules and regulations, but Kali Yuga and conditioned souls means that unless there's a consequence to not following those rules and regulations, only advanced people are going to follow them or are not going to think about breaking them. And therefore, you don't have the main initiative for a general social structure. Sometimes people may make the argument, well, but if you're really Krishna conscious, then you don't need Kshatriyas. But that's the whole problem, is that we're not really Krishna conscious. Otherwise, if we were really Krishna conscious, then certainly there wouldn't be any question of many of these other things. But history bears out that that's not what happens. And we're not just talking about little brahmacharis or grihastas, we're talking about gurus and sannyasis. And so we see that no one particularly comes above the influence or enticements of the material energy, or if they are, they're rare. But rather we see that it becomes a common phenomenon, that there's a tendency to deviate. And then it happens. If nothing, then you get more deviation. In other words, if you can walk into Sainsbury's and stick your hand in the till and walk out, and no one's going to punish you, then what are you going to do? Next day you're going to walk in again. So this is one, although on one side in terms of rules and spiritual values and a philosophy, it's really sort of quite clear. When it comes to this, it's a real question mark. Because remember, when you're talking about Varnashram, you're talking about a state. You're not talking about a religion. You can't make a religion into a state unless you do something like the Vatican. But that's very rare, where you've got this little island in the middle of Rome that has its own laws and it has its own military, but they have their own military. They have their own. They have Swiss soldiers, and they have their own military. It's the head of the Catholic Church, but they have their own army. And that's pretty telling, considering the place is like probably the size of Carmen Milan. That's how big the whole thing is. But they have an army. So, anyhow, I said I'd start with questions, so let's go back to starting with questions. So, you know, the first one with questions.
About raising children. So, I was wondering if you could speak a bit about how to find a balance between being too restrictive, so that children might end up, you know, going the opposite extreme when they grow up, or being too lenient, thinking that being too restrictive is going to have a better effect. Letting them watch movies and have
the
friends they want.
Have what?
Being too lenient, meaning letting them watch movies, play the games they want, have the friends they want. Thinking that if I push them too hard, then when they grow up, you know, 17, 18 years old, then they're just going to go the other extreme, because, you know, it's like a spring, you know. The spring push them too much, then it's going to spring the other way. Or being too restrictive, you have to find the balance.
Well, lenient and this restrictive are really sort of relative terms, and the whole concept is relative. It really starts with values. What do you believe in, and in terms of Krishna consciousness, and what is it that you are offering to your children? So, Krishna consciousness, you could say, starts from the direction of trying to give children the opportunity for pure devotional service to it's their faith, it's their religion, you know, whatever their conduct may be, but let them, you know, think that as opposed to, I don't know, Jehovah's God, that Krishna's God. And then there's maybe a lot of things in between. Whatever they may be meat eaters or gamblers or workouts or either, anything, but let them think that Krishna's God. And that's one level of Krishna consciousness. This is another level. And then ultimately, that's what a parent is. he, she lives by a certain set of values, and that's what they give across to their children. So they have to be clear about what it is that they want. And then they accept the consequences of that. So being too restrictive or being too permissive depends on, starts at least with that, what it is that the parents want to offer, and then they have to also see what it is that their circumstances, they themselves, their circumstances, the education, and the sort of the social framework that they're in, whether that actually backs up what they want to offer. Because if they don't, then you end up in a constant conflict area, and then the children end up in a conflict area. So if children are in such a situation where the values of the parents are the values of everyone around, and are shared also by the educational system, then children have a good chance of being trained in that way, learning those values themselves, and then when they become young adults and they make their own decision, then based on receiving those set of values, they can then see what their relationship with the outside world is and how, what values they want to adopt. Whatever it is that parents say, whether they're permissive or restrictive, both or anything in between, whatever it is that they're giving to their children, they're imposing something on them. It's the parents' value. That's what parent means. You can't avoid that. If you are, then you shouldn't have children. In other words, if you're not willing to take the responsibility that what I believe in is what I'm giving to children, because children don't have any values. So, unless you're willing to take that responsibility, then why do you parent? You may end up getting blamed later on, but that's the risk. That's the risk that you take. So that you can say in the future, I gave you what I thought was the best, and now you're an adult, you decide whether that's what you want to do or not. So the answer then, one's own set of values, and then also what the circumstances permit. And then devotees think, well, the environment around me is parallel to what I believe in, then there's no problem. If it's conflicting, then I either lower my expectations or my values from children, or I could go somewhere else, or I just hide off somewhere in the moors and live alone with my children, because then I know that someone else is going to be telling them something different than what I am. And then, of course, those are decisions that individuals have to make. And generally, decisions are difficult things, they're not easy things. And one may not always make the right decision, but at least a general principle for Vaishnava is that they should be true to what they believe in. Otherwise, we're always trying to be accommodating to everyone else's opinion, you end up becoming schizophrenic and you can't live for yourself. Now, having said that, there are other religious organizations that are equally strict as we are. They may not be in the same way, but, you know, they may, for instance, not be vegetarians. Like the Amish, for instance, they don't educate their children past age 12. That's it. They don't believe. They're convinced that education is bad for children. It makes them proud. It makes them more intelligent. It makes them look into something else in life other than what they believe themselves to be, which is farmers. And for farming, you only need so much education. So they're very restrictive between association with boys and girls, much more strict in terms of clothes that you wear, you know, by comparison to how our girls and boys dress. They're much more conservative. They're very, very insular lifestyle. They don't drive cars. They drive horse and buggy. I mean, if you want to go on Sankirtan, you have to get into horse and buggy to get to Glasgow. Which is interesting that, you know, when Prabhupada, when we got the manor, Prabhupada said that we should grow our boga, and then we should have a bullock cart. And Prabhupada said that in the night, devotees should load up the bullock cart with produce, and they should go to Camden Market with the bullocks at night, and they'll get there by early morning. You should sell the produce and come back. Prabhupada didn't say load it up in a car. He said go in the bullock cart. That's quite a sight down London.